and my awesome privilege to get to present to you tonight somebody that always speaks into our church, always has a word, always speaks into us. And I thank God for them, and I just pray God's hundredfold blessing upon them. Pastor Jim, Pastor Connie.
Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, help us again. Come on, people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on. Stir up the Holy Ghost within you. Come on, amen. Glory to God, glory to God. I do want to be a history maker. I do, that's my heart. It has been for a long, long time, and my pastors have poured into me, seen things in me that I couldn't see for many, many years, and stuck it out with me. Glory to God. Amen. I say that to say, if this is your home church, stay settled in. Come on. You're a tree of righteousness. Come on, the planting of the Lord. He plants you. You don't plant yourself. Last time I knew, my husband used this illustration. I love it. He said, you know, my trees out in my front yard don't all of a sudden one day, I don't like this yard no more. I want to go over there in the neighbor's yard. They just don't uproot themselves and go camp out in another yard because they don't want to be in my yard no more. Amen? And it's the same with the Lord. If the Lord has planted you here, you need to dig your roots in deep. Amen? Begin to be cultivated. Begin to be poured into. Amen? So that you can fulfill your purpose and your destiny. The moment you begin to uproot yourself, you're in trouble. Come on. Because what you've done, whether you realize it or not, you said, I'm going to be God of my own life. I believe I know better, so I'm going to go do this. Now, I had no intention of doing that, so that's for somebody. Amen? That's hot off the press, Holy Ghost. Amen? Come on, don't uproot yourself. Stay grounded. Amen? Well, how many of you realize Joseph had a dream? Huh? I love Joseph. Well, I really, really... I really, really, really love you. But I really, really love the story of Joseph. Amen. Joseph was a dreamer. And I believe I'm in a room full of dreamers. Come on. You see? Well, you know, I'm trying to wake them up. Wake up out of your sleep. Joseph was a dreamer, and you're dreamers. I'm in a room full of dreamers. Remember, I didn't ask you if you dream. I know you dream. Amen, because my daddy God is a God of no respecter of persons. And if I dream, I know you dream. We're all dreamers, amen. And there are things that the Father downloads to us in our sleep, amen. Sometimes it's because that's the only way he can get it to us. Other times it's just because he's revealing mysteries to us. We've been talking all weekend about the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost, getting your prayer language, speaking in tongues. Why is it so important? I'm glad you asked. It's important because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, guess what you're doing? You are sowing mysteries. And when you sow, guess what? You reap. So when you sow mysteries by praying in the Holy Ghost, I love that. Amen. Guess what? I have a right to receive mysteries. Hello. From the Father. Amen. So if you're in a time period, in a season of your life where you feel like pieces of the puzzles just aren't quite coming together, begin to sow out of the Spirit. Amen? So as you sow out of the Spirit, you reap the mysteries, the missing pieces, the puzzle to make it all come together. Amen? I say this everywhere I go. Daddy God's not trying to keep anything from you. He's trying to get it to you. Amen? And the problem is too many times we don't cooperate with him. We think if God's got something for us, it's just going to poof, and it's just going to happen. Well, it doesn't just poof. Amen. We have to cooperate with the Word of God. We have a responsibility. Amen. See, I'm talking to mature. I'm talking to mature. Hallelujah. Prophesy. I'm talking to mature sons and daughters of God. Amen. So, Joseph was a dreamer. And I want you to realize, I just want to, again, just drop this in your spirit. The enemy is a stealer of dreams. Come on, he tried to do it with Joseph. Amen. Joseph was doing what Joseph did on the hillside, ministering to the Lord over and over and over again. And as he did, the Lord began to show Joseph his future and what he had planned for him. In the midst of it, he begins to tell his brothers, you know the story. Now his brothers, if you read it, didn't like Joseph in the first place. They were jealous of him because his father, it seemed like his father paid him all the attention. And his brothers were very, very jealous of him. And it was when Joseph began to share his dream, it says in the word that they hated him even the more. Go back and read the story. It's in Genesis 37. Amen. Matter of fact, I'm going to go there. Genesis 37, verse 3. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was a son of his old age and made him a distinctive long tunic with sleeves. But when his brothers saw that their father loved Joseph more than all his other brothers, they hated him and could not say peace and a friendly greeting to him or even speak peaceably to him or about him. Now Joseph had a dream, and he told his brothers, and guess what? They hated him even the more. And he said to them, listen now and hear, I pray you, this dream that I have dreamed. Amen. He goes on to tell him the dream. And I want to tell you, there are dream killers out there. Come on. There are dream killers. And there are some things that the Father is going to begin to speak to you, and he's going to show you. Amen. And you need to be wise about who you share them with. Because guess what? Sometimes even the people closest to you will try to kill your dream because they think they know you better than God does. Hello. They will try to keep you in bondage to all that they know in their limited ability. Amen. When God is trying to always pull you into your destiny. So sometimes when God releases a dream or even when he releases a prophetic word, amen. I see this happen over and over. So many people in the body of Christ will dismiss something because they don't understand it. Because so many times the Father is not trying to speak necessarily about where you're exactly at, but he's trying to bring you up out of where you're at, amen, to the fullness of your destiny, to the fullness of the purposes and the plans of God on your life, amen. That's what the office of a prophet and a prophetess will do. It'll begin to challenge you to come up higher, challenge you to come out of what has been and what was into what he has. Amen? So many times there's dream killers out there. Amen? And the enemy will try to set you up and try to squash and kill and steal and stifle, amen, the dream of God. And I just want to encourage you, as a father does that in this season, because I believe there's more of the body of Christ that is dreaming. There's an increase of that right now because the Father is trying to let us in on some stuff. Amen. So as you sow in the Spirit, you reap in the Spirit. Amen. You're going to dream like you never dreamed before. Amen. The Lord is going to begin to show you stuff concerning your future and even you that you don't even know anything about. Don't dismiss it. Come on. He knows you better than you know yourself. Come on. Amen. He knows you better than you know yourself. I'll never forget the first time the Lord showed me in a dream preaching. And I didn't breathe a word to nobody because I wasn't really solid in church yet and everything else. So there wasn't much wisdom or understanding or teaching. But I thought, that's completely ridiculous. There's no way. See, I was the one, if I had to stand up in front of the classroom, I'd pass out. I mean, I'd hit the floor. Anxiety would hit me. There was no way I could stand up in front of people, let alone breathe a word. I'm serious. And any time there was a confrontation or I was directly asked something, I couldn't even speak. I'd pass out as a little girl. And so when the Lord began to show me at the age of 10 that I would be preaching and even going to nations, I thought it was completely ridiculous. Amen? Come on, amen? But when I got planted where the Lord wanted me to be, all of a sudden, my pastors began to breathe on that thing. And I never had to say anything. It just sort of developed in the midst of me staying rooted and staying planted. Amen. I never let go of what God showed me as a little girl. Amen. So I want to encourage you, dreamers. Come on now. Amen. Don't allow anything or anybody to steal your dream. Amen. If God showed you it, He's spoken it, He's got a way, He's got a provision, He's got a plan, He's got a way to develop it and bring it to pass. Amen. Amen. So wake up. Tell somebody beside you, wake up. Wake up. Amen. Wake up to the Spirit of God. Wake up to the things of God. Expect for Him to give you downloads, heavenly downloads. I don't lay my head down on the pillow anymore that what I don't pray in the Holy Ghost and fall asleep because I'm expecting the Father to show me stuff. Amen? Come on, amen? Amen.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, the good news is a dream never dies. But dreamers die. Now, the dream will live on even when you give up on it. Because if God speaks, He brings it to pass. He watches over His Word. Amen? And His Word is... Amen? Amen. Come on now, glory to God. This is camp meeting. I got to remind you... Whoa! Hallelujah, power search. Got to remind you again. Hallelujah. Praise God. I was thinking as Pastor Jerry got up to say something and was going to tell a story. I'm so glad that the spirit of wisdom rests on him because the spirit of revenge came on me. And I thought, you're going to tell a story on me and I get the pulpit? And so through my memory banks. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Well, this camp meeting is almost over, but the camp meeting might end, but you know, that doesn't mean the fire that God stirs up in us ends. Amen. We carry the fire on, and it's amazing how we always ask the Lord, Lord, I just need to be stirred up. Stir me up, Lord. And He said, no, stir yourself up. You stir up the fire that's within you. Amen. And sometimes that's all it takes is just releasing a shout, saying amen, glory to God, or whatever. Sometimes it's just us kicking in that pony motor to get the big machinery running. Amen. And Ricardo, I just want to tell you, if you knew the anointing that comes off your life when you just begin to share, you wouldn't shut up for nothing. Well, maybe I better not tell you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, put your hand on your belly. That's your spirit man down in there, you know. Look at somebody. Look them right in the eye. Get that look on you, you know, when you think you're spiritual. And tell them this. Say, you know, I'm on the level because my bubble's in the middle. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. How many of you know it's all right to have fun? Amen. If you can't have fun in church, you're in trouble.
That's right.
Amen. In fact, you're not in church, you're at the funeral home. Glory to God. I said glory to God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I was thinking some of the things that we saw take place, and sometimes people have wrong ideas of people and what makes them what they are and everything. And I was looking... Well, actually, we came out of the Chinese restaurant, so this may be a Chinese revelation. Too much lo mein. But as soon as we walked out, the Spirit quickened me a verse, and I had to look it up. But in Job 33:4, you don't go there. I just want to share this. It says, so please Job, or please, New Life for the Nations, hear me out. Honor me by listening to me. What I'm about to say has been carefully thought out. I have no ulterior motives in this. I'm speaking honestly from my heart. The Spirit of God has made me what I am, and the breath of God Almighty gave me life. The Spirit of God made me what I am, and the breath of God Almighty gave me life. Amen. Same Spirit that dwells in you. I was telling Pastor Jerry earlier that, let me just back up a minute. How many of you know the American Express saying? Don't leave home without it. They got that from the Bible. Jesus told them, tarry ye in Jerusalem till you receive power from on high. Don't leave home without it. Don't go out and minister until you get the power. Amen. And then I was telling Pastor Jerry earlier about that Popeye spirit. Yeah, you know, Popeye said, I am what I am. And that's all that I am. I'm Popeye the Sailor Man. Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, before, by the grace of God, I am what I am. That's that old Popeye spirit, glory to God. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Look at somebody and say, take it easy on me. See, it's because by the grace of God, you are what you are. And you're right on time with God. You're right in the right position you need to be with God. You haven't come up short. You have not missed anything. You've not taken God by surprise. You may have failed. You may have come up, messed up, did it on purpose. Hello. But it didn't surprise God. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're lying down again. Amen. He knows the very number of hairs on your head. Some of you, it's original account. Come on now. He knows everything about you. Nothing about you has escaped him. And he loves you in spite of yourself. Come on now. And he's not angry with you. And he's not disappointed in you. How can he who rules your life be disappointed in you when it's not yet time for you to be who he's made you to be? You didn't hear that, did you? See, it's not God that's angry with you. It's religion that's angry with you. It's your own measuring stick that's angry with you because you have measured your life and said, I need to be this and I need to do that and I should have been further along. Well, who said? Well, get quiet on me. Because see, if I can free you from that spirit of condemnation, you can rise up and be everything that God wants you to be. If I can free you from that spirit of condemnation, you'll be the Peter that gets out of the boat. You'll dare to believe that you can do something that somebody else is not doing. You'll dare to believe that God will use you just like he would use anybody else. You'll start stepping out. And if you fail, you'll say, well, a righteous man falls seven times and gets up again. And seven doesn't mean complete. I get a kick out of this because, you know, Jesus was talking one day and the disciples said, Lord, how many times do I have to forgive my brother? I can just see him. Now, you probably don't read it like me. Just give me the number, Lord, because I'm waiting. How many times? Do I have to forgive him seven times? And Jesus said, I'd say not to you seven times, but 70 times seven. And that 490, I don't believe he was just simply saying, when you get 491, man, let them have it. I believe that what he was saying is that it's not a limited number. You have to keep on forgiving. You have to keep on forgiving. You have to keep on forgiving. And why would God tell you to keep on forgiving if he wasn't willing to keep on forgiving you? Come on now. And so we need to realize God's not mad at me. What a freedom it will be in your life when you realize I can rest in what he's already done for me. I can rest in the fact that he knows me. He knows everything about me. He knew it when I was going to mess up. He knew it when I was going to kick the kid and put the dog out. I mean, come on now. Are you following me? And so we need to lighten up on ourselves. Tell somebody to lighten up. If we'll lighten up a little bit, we'll begin to see that we can fulfill the dream, because we cancel the dream out because we begin to look at ourselves. I like what Paul says. He says, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Though we did know Jesus after the flesh, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. In other words, we're not going to judge somebody by the flesh, because your flesh is not that which is saved. Your spirit is what is saved. Your flesh is subject to weaknesses. Your flesh is subject to temptations. And are y'all out there? And so we have to realize our spirit man is what's been redeemed. Our spirit man is what's been created after the image and likeness of God. And if we'll just learn to live inside out. All right. Amen. That's why I said, if you walk in the spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you'll quit trying to live out of your flesh, quit trying to live out of the wrong mindset. You know what the Bible says about this? He says the carnal man... Cardinal simply means that soulish nature, but it also, most of the time when we think of cardinal people, we think either that those are those Christians that don't do nothing. They say they're Christians, but those are the ones we want to point a finger and say, I thought you were the Christian. Or we think about the natural man, and the natural man who hadn't come to the Lord, of course he's got to be cardinal because he's not spiritual. Amen. But cardinal, what it means is meathead. That's what it means. Animal nature, it means meathead. Look at somebody say, don't be a meathead. And every time we try to live out of our mind, every time we try to figure things out by our reasoning and by our intellect, and then rather than trusting in the Spirit of God who dwells in us and just trusting what God has already done, we advert to that meathead. We become the meathead again. And every time you become a meathead, you'll judge somebody wrong. Well, amen. Or, oh me, or something. Are you following me? And so henceforth, I know no man after the flesh. I used to, somebody said, you know, man, you think you're, oh man, I'll tell you right now, you ain't doing nothing in my church. Look at the way you live. Come on now, because all I could see was outward appearances. Yeah. Come on, an outward appearance is nothing but an earth suit. That's all it is. Sometimes you put your suit on, it gets wrinkled. Huh? But we form this opinion of what everybody ought to be and how everybody ought to act, and that's religion. Has nothing to do with my message, freebie. Hallelujah. I am what I am. How? By the grace of God. By the grace of God. Hallelujah. Okay, Lord. Remember, Paul said there was given to me, because of the great revelation I had, a thorn in the flesh. A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Buffet means to hit up my head, upside my head. In other words, Paul says every time I'm walking along, something comes along, smacks me upside my head. It's a spiritual thing. Don't say you have a thorn in the flesh unless you've got a great revelation, by the way. But he said three times I asked the Lord to remove it, and the Lord surprised Paul by saying this, my grace is sufficient for you. He wasn't saying, because my grace is in your life, you can put up with it. He was saying, my grace is everything you need to gain the victory. Everything you need. My grace has the empowerment. My grace has the wisdom. My grace has the revelation. My grace has the fortitude you need. Everything you need is there, because my grace is sufficient for you. It'll get the job done. If you walk in the law, if you walk in religion, then you struggle and strive to do it yourself, and you just get further and further into it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I don't know who died, Father, but thank you. Hallelujah. Did you all hear me? I said, I don't know who died, Father, but thank you. Hallelujah. Well, amen. How many of you know that the Bible says that when God created man, he created him in his own likeness and own image? Amen? Look at somebody and say, you're created to be like God.
You're created to be like God.
Amen. See, that's why he says, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. Then he goes on and says, but you are the light of the world. In other words, I'm leaving, I'm checking out, but I'm going to empower you so that you can be what I was, so that you can do what I did. And so everywhere we go, we're supposed to be representing the kingdom of God. We're supposed to be showing people what God is really like. God's not hateful. God's not bitter. God's not resentful. Amen. God's not judgmental.
Come on.
And so God is love. Amen. And so you have to love people. Amen. Even the people you don't want to love. Which means you got to love me. Amen. And if you don't, I'll just pray that if you do make it to heaven, you'll live right next door to me. Hallelujah. And so we've got to figure out that God says, my original intent, my original plan, and he never changes. God does not have plan B. Whatever God planned from the beginning is his plan. And he's planned for there to be a representative figure of him in the earth forever, so that everything would have an understanding of what God is like. And for some reason or another, he chose the church to be his body so that he can empower it with his spirit, so that we can go forth and we can subdue all the kingdoms of this earth and the kingdom of God can be manifested. Amen. Amen. And so we need to realize that God has given us territory. God has given us promises. God has given us possessions and provisions that we need to tap into. And sometimes, though, we fumble along the way, and when we fumble, we need to learn how to recover what we fumble. Those of you who were here, what was it last night? Yeah, last night I was told you that you had to return to where you lost it. You have to go back to that place where the fire of God went out of your life. That incident, that moment that you can put your finger on, that's when it happened. I was offended. Somebody didn't shake my hand. Somebody said something against me. Somebody didn't call me when I didn't show up. And I had an offense there. The preacher said something, and I took it the wrong way, and it offended me. And then the fire began to go out, and you have to go back to that point, and you have to recover what you lost. You have to make up your mind, I'm not going to let those things hinder me any longer. And I'm going to tell you, having gone through things, my own self, I'm just going to talk to you about a moment by the Holy Ghost. Having gone through some things in my own self, I know that things begin to take place. When things begin to happen in a church and it looks like tragedy comes in the church, we get kind of flaky in our thinking. And we begin to think, if it happens, can happen to them, what's going to happen to me? And we begin to lose hope, and we begin to slack off, and we begin to slack back. And we need to realize, no, that's the moment you begin to lose it, and you need to return to that place and recover it and say, no, devil, I'm not going to let you have a victory there. I'm picking up, and I'm going to get stronger than ever before. Amen. Well, amen. I'm so glad you're shouting me down. If you got any louder, I think I was in camp meeting. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But when he made man in the original creation, he put him in a garden, and that garden was his sphere of influence. That was a place that he was to rule and to reign. And the unique thing about the man that God made, he said, I want you to subdue and have dominion. I want you to conquer in everything. I want you to subjugate everything to your rule, because you are representing me. You are like me in this earth. Everything's supposed to come underneath your authority. All sickness and all disease wasn't even there. So what was it going to come under his authority? Just one thing. That little creepy thing to come creeping in the garden. Come on now. And that was just a small place, just a small garden. It wasn't that big. And yet, man blew it and lost that, and he had to return to where he lost it. And on that day of Pentecost, but on that first day when Jesus rose from the grave, he come to them walking through walls, walked right into the midst of them, and breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost as the Father sent me, so send I you. How did the Father send them? For the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me. So as the Father sent me, so send I you. Tell somebody, say, you got a commission on your life. God never saved us and fill us with his Holy Spirit so that we can sit back and do nothing. He saved us so that we can represent. Hello, somebody. And so we need to go forth in the power of God. Amen. Now, an interesting thing in the New Testament, when he was getting ready to rise, he told him in Matthew, he says, some authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Oh, y'all are listening. All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore into all the world. Anytime you see therefore, you're supposed to see what the therefore is there for. And when he says, go ye therefore, you back up and say, what's the therefore, therefore? All authority has been given to me. Go ye therefore. In other words, I have authority to release authority, and I'm sending you with a divine commission that you go and you make representatives in this earth. You multiply. Just the original intent in the garden, what did he say? Be fruitful in what? Be fruitful in what? What do you think your job's to do? Be fruitful and multiply. Amen? Make more like you. Sometimes what the problem is, we don't like ourselves. So we don't want to make no more like us. We want to spare the kingdom. Huh? Because we're judging ourselves with the wrong concept. I have a fellow that was ministering in our church, and he said he was working on the job, and somebody came up to him. He says, you know, this guy's a Christian. You can tell he's a Christian. He came up to me. He says, I'm going to ask you a question. And he said, what's the question? He said, if somebody was to judge your fruit basket, what kind of fruit would be in your basket? And everybody did that. Ooh. Boy, that's something there. And everybody's mind went to racing. Well, I wonder what kind of fruit's in my basket. And when I had the opportunity to say something, I says, when somebody asks you that question, you ask them a question first. Ask them, when they look into the mirror, what do they see? Because if they're looking in the mirror and they don't see what Christ sees about them, then there, it doesn't matter what you tell them is in your fruit basket. They're going to find fault with it anyway. Amen? And we need to get back to looking into the Word of God and see what the Lord says about us. Amen. Look and see what the Lord says about us. So he said, go into all the world. Amen. How many of you gone into all the world? How many of you gone next door? You notice I'm not looking up. How many of you gone to Walmart? And so he says, you have a spirit of authority, you have a spirit of influence that you can go in, and when you go in, and here's the neat thing about it, when you go on commission of God. You go under the authority of God, and as you go, that God goes with you and meets with you and will perform that which he wants to accomplish. You just got to get out of the boat and do something. And so we've got to learn to begin to, this is, if listen, the earth is the Lord's, what? And the fullness thereof. Whose does the earth belong to? Come on, let's see if we believe the Bible. Who does the earth belong to? So there ain't no such thing as the God of this world owning it. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let me stretch you a little bit. God owns the cattle on what? Who owns the rest of them? God owns it all, doesn't he? Now he says this. He says the heavens, even the heavens belong to God, but the earth has he given to the children of men. Now who owns the earth?
We do.
Who owns the earth? We do. And if we don't like what's going on in the earth, rather than sit back and complaining and griping about those in a position of authority and everything, we ought to rise up in authority and begin to release the word of God that will bring change. I haven't even got to my message yet. It's our earth. I said it's our earth. Three times in the book of Daniel, in one chapter, he says, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and he gives it to whomsoever he wills. He willed to give it to us. It's our world. Amen. I said, it's our world. I'm going to tell you one thing. If you can keep on holding on to this idea that the devil's in charge of your world, I'm going to repossess yours. Amen. If you won't take your authority, if you won't take your place, if you won't take your territory, I will. Well, amen. And so we've got to recover. I looked out there, cheated earlier today, or yesterday or something, and I saw you got a model up there for 2013. What is the model? This is a test. Say it again. Looking at things unseen in 2013. Listen, in one version of Hebrews 11:3 says, by faith we understand that the worlds were set in order at God's command, so that the visible has its origin in the invisible. The visible has its origin in the invisible. Everything that you can see came out of the invisible. And so that means that if you're going to receive things from God, it's already in the invisible. And you just got to get it out of the invisible realm into the visible realm. Amen. And see, some of you need to realize your victory's already been taken care of. Your victory's already been won. Glory to God. And God's just waiting for you to incorporate it in your life, appropriate it in your life, take it out of the invisible and make it visible. Just done by faith, just simply accepting and believing what God says. Let me give you a challenge. How many in here are saved? How do you know you are? By faith. That's a different faith than believing that you're healed. A different faith than believing you're accepted in the beloved. Huh? A different faith than believing that God loves you. It's the same faith, isn't it? And so all we got to do is just, by faith, the same faith, just begin to incorporate that in our life and just begin to act like we believe it. James says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And actually, he's talking about in the context. By the way, anytime you take text out of context, all you got is a con. That's why a lot of Christians are getting conned. But in the context, he's talking about going through trials and testings and you don't know what to do. And he says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth all to men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Amen? So he says, let him ask in faith. Well, how do you know when you asked in faith for wisdom when you don't know what to do? Because what does God just play with you? They say, ask me in faith, maybe I'll give it to you. No, he says he'll give it to you. So when you pray, you don't know what to do, you don't know how to handle the situation, he says ask God, amen, but ask him in faith. When you ask in faith, when you get done asking, you act like you received. You act like all of a sudden I didn't know what to do, but now I know what to do, so I'm going to do something and believe that it's what God wants me to do. Well, what if I'm wrong? See, there's no room for that. You just begin to do, believing that God heard your prayer and God is leading and guiding you. Instead of just keep on waiting, say, I wish I had an answer. I wish God would say something to me. I wish somebody would come through and prophesy to me what I need to do. I just did. Well, amen. And so we've got to get back to the place and realize that God has this place for us to rule and reign from, and we've got to recover things. One of the things I believe that he's been showing us this weekend is we need to recover the promises of health in our life. God wants you whole. It's not a matter of either or. He wants you whole. I so love the fact that when Jesus went to the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. Not hear me, heard me. I know you always hear me. So he said, I thank you that you heard me. When did he hear him? When he told the disciples 3 days earlier than that, he said, this sickness is not unto death. That's right. He proclaimed something, and so when he got to the tomb, he says, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I know that you always hear me, because I'm about to say something. Mm-hmm. Amen? But I just said it because of these knuckleheads here. They need to know it. And when he said that, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And nothing could stop it because Father always hears him. Amen. Do you come to a place that you believe that Father hears you when you talk? See, I don't understand praying if you don't believe God's hearing. Because I believe if you just pray to be praying, that's religion. I grew up in that. I told you this morning or last night, whatever, I was, you know, grew up Catholic and American heathen. If all you're going to do is pray and you don't really believe the Father's hearing you, why waste your time? But we've got to come to a place that we believe that God's already made provision for us. He is Jehovah Jireh. He has seen the need. He's gone before us. He's made provision. Now all we have to do is tap into the invisible and bring it into the visible. God wants you to recover health. Was he wounded for your transgression and bruised for your iniquities? Was the chastisement of your peace upon him? And with his stripes were you not healed? And then we've got to begin to recover that and get a hold of it and refuse to accept anything different. That's our ground. That's our right. Amen? And we need to have a tenacity about things. We need to get a hold of some things and say, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. See, I don't know about you, but I believe God's serious. And so I don't believe he's a man he should lie. And so when I get in a situation like that, I just keep going before the Lord. You know, it's like, forgive me. Like, what was it? Abraham began to intercede when they were getting ready to go to Sodom. And he began to intercede. And he said, forgive me, but I got to ask you one more time. What if there be just 10 in the city? I mean, don't let me wear you out or anything, but I've got to. And so I believe it's like that. God, I don't understand this. Your word says this, and I'm not going to let go of it until you perform your word in my life, God. I believe it enough, Lord, to stand here and get before you and act like I have tenacity about it, and I refuse to be denied. Well, amen. And so he wants you to recover that. Amen. Is God for you? Is he really for you? How can somebody be for you and leave you in the condition you're in? Huh? So it must not be him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Said he brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble one amongst them. Not one feeble one amongst them. No weakness, no infirmity, no sickness, no disease. Are you following that? That's what God wants for our life. You're representing God in the earth. Is God sick? Hallelujah. Stretching them, Lord, stretch them. Hallelujah. I have a friend. Oh, glory. He was a preacher. He's in prison now. real good friend. He gave me and my son right to go hunt on his land, exclusive right to go hunt on 90 acres of his land. But he slipped up and forgot to tell us he had a meth lab out there. I thought he was my friend. But he told me, he says, every time I see you, you stretch me. I like that. Then he bought me a hat and it says on it, stretch. Hallelujah. Because I believe that too long in the church we have allowed people to do our thinking for us. And we forgot to look for ourselves. Amen. And so God wants us to recover health. Amen. To be whole. Amen. Look at somebody and say, it's the will of God for you to be whole. Let me just kind of help you with something. There's a difference between being healed and being whole. Remember when the leopards came to Jesus and 10 of them that went away and only one of them came back? What did Jesus say to them? Your faith has made you whole. Not that I've healed you, but I made you whole. Leprosy eats your things off. Eat your fingers off, eat your noses off, eat your ears off. Amen? So when he said, I made you whole, he's saying, you've recovered everything. You just didn't get healed, but I made you complete. I made you whole again, glory to God. And I believe God wants you whole. He doesn't want you to suffer the effects of what you've been through. Amen. He wants your strength to come back. Lord, are they thinking or? Amen. And I also believe that God makes provision for you, and he wants you to have your provision. Amen. That God wants you to have the things that you have need of. He doesn't want you to get by on barely get along the street. And I'm not talking about going out in excess. I'm not talking about believing God for a Rolls Royce or anything. I'm talking about provision that you need so that you can effectively advance the kingdom of God. He says in the Old Testament, he gives you wealth to establish his covenant. And he wants his covenant established. He wants the word of God going forth. And so he will provide for you those things that you need so that you can accomplish those things that he wants you to do. Amen? But he says something we have to do, and we don't know how to do it. But seek ye first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom. We seek his righteousness. We want to be right with God, but we don't seek the kingdom. Because anytime you seek the kingdom, you bring the king into your midst. Because the kingdom is just the realm of the king. And listen, I was thinking during praise and worship, what kind of king? Because Pastor LeBurn said something about the king. What kind of king would he be if he couldn't take care of his subjects? And why would you serve him if he couldn't take care of his subjects? If he couldn't provide for you and care for you, amen? I'd be looking for a new king. You know, it's like they did in old days. The king is dead. Long live the king. You know, move this guy out, move another one in. Amen? But our king can make provision for us. He has made provision for us. And he's already gone before us to make sure that we can receive the things that we have need of. Amen? And so we need to begin to recover that. And again, your provision is right there in the realm of the Spirit, and you just got to pull it out of the invisible and pull it into the visible. Amen? I said a long time ago, and my wife's got a hold of it now, and she's running with it, and that is, money's stupid. Money doesn't have a mind. Your money ever get out of your wallet and talk to you? Tell you that we're going to do this today, we're going to do that today. It's stupid. It don't know what to do. You have to talk to it. You have to tell it. We tell people when they sow, you know, name your seed. I got a kick. We were ministering in a church just recently, and as we left, there was some cash in there in the envelope, and I pulled the cash out, and on one of the bills it said seed for a new car. And we didn't get a block away from the church, and we stopped and prayed for that seed. Amen? Now, all I could do is ask God to bless the others, but I knew what that seed was. Yeah. Are you following me? And so they exercised faith, and I came in agreement with it because God had given them provision. Amen? And he will yet provide more. Yeah. Well, amen. So we need to, you know, the Bible says some of the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. Huh? Now, you don't believe that. Now, come on. That's a mistranslation. Some of the promises of God, a few of the promises of God. The promises of God you got marked in yellow. All the promises of God are maybe so and if and and. All the promises of God are yes and amen. And I like what some versions say. All the promises of God find their fulfillment in him. And so we utter the amen. We come into agreement with them. And so all the promises are us, but how many of us have all the promises operating in our lives? And see, sometimes what we do is we get one every once in a while, and we get satisfied with what's going on in our life when we take one when there's 100 more. Amen? And we need to incorporate all the promises. Get all of them working in your life. For there's given to you exceeding great and precious promises that by these promises, you might become partakers, sharers in the God-like nature. How are you going to be a representative of God in the earth? By the promises of God. You begin to recover those promises and get them incorporated in your life. If God says you are, guess what? You are. Not you might be. You are. But the trouble is, we see ourselves after the flesh. We see our shortcomings. We see our failures. And we think, well, it can't be what God said. That's the same thing that happened to the spies when they went in. God said, I've given you the land. And they said, it was like you said, God, but we saw the giants. And so, therefore, because we saw giants, it couldn't be like you said. You need to get your eyes off your own personal giants and get your eyes back on the promises of God and believe God will do what he said he'll do. Well, amen. The Bible says a man will be satisfied by the good, by the fruit of his mouth, by what you say. What you say. And we heard a word this morning about be careful about what you say. You'll be satisfied by the fruit of your mouth. Amen. And so you need to be saying things that are going to satisfy you. Amen. Because remember, he says that to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it proceed the issues of life. In other words, you're going to speak what's in your heart. Amen? And you find out real quick what's in somebody's heart, just let them talk. Amen. You find out what they're believing for. They can, you know, they can hallelujah and glory to God with the best of them. Kickstarter the Honda and tie the bow tie and come kitty, come kitty, come. But hang around with them a few minutes and you'll see if it's gloom, despair, and agony on. Come on now. All right, what we going to do? The world's getting so bad.
Brother Jim.
Brother Jim. What we going to do? What we going to do? Do you think this is the end, Brother Jim? No, I think this is the beginning.
Come on.
Huh? So many people are today, I don't understand it. Why are everybody looking for the great escape? Why don't you look for the great takeover? Come on now. Why don't you look for the great manifestation? Glory to God. Why don't we quit looking for a way to get out of here and thinking, well, you think maybe it's the end of things? Because the moment you start thinking it's about to end, you stop doing. It's happened throughout history. Every time people thought that the Lord was going to come, they sold all their possessions, stopped paying their bills. Huh? Get up on top of the rooftop and wait to see. Come on, you can study it out. It happened time and time again. And people began to stop doing what they need to do. Stop looking for the end of things and start looking for the beginning of things. Start looking for there to be a great manifestation of a wave after wave after wave of God's Spirit and people's lives being set free. Signs and wonders and miracles taking place. Why? Because the children of the Most High God rise up and become who God says they are. Stretch. Well, amen. And so start looking and believing God for the promises. Amen. I like what it says in Philemon. It says the communication of your faith, Philemon 1:6, the communication of your faith becomes effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing within. Now I'm thinking, what good thing do I have within? The Holy Ghost, glory to God. The lights are on somebody's home, amen? And when I acknowledge Him, amen? Remember what the Bible says, to be careful for nothing, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. But that's not what I wanted. Remember when it talks that in all thy ways acknowledge Him and He will direct your path. And so what we got to learn to do is acknowledge the Lord. Lord, I acknowledge You today. I acknowledge You, the Lord of my life. I acknowledge that my body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, see, I'm not like some of you. Some of you are court low. But I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Huh? Some of us are living off of past experience. Well, yes, I was baptized in the Holy Ghost 20 years ago. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Huh? You know, come on, Brother Jim. I remember. I kick-started Muhammad. Huh? But what have you done since then?
Yeah, right.
And it wasn't just so you could have a prayer language, it's so that you can have power. Power, glory to God. Power, so you can be an evidence producer, that you can show the world He is alive, because the whole world's from Missouri. Sorry, Clifton. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Acknowledge what you got, amen? Talk about it. Yeah, I don't understand. Why do we sit around with somebody and say, yeah, you think your pain's bad? Well, I'll tell you what. Mine keeps me up all night long. Huh? You think your children are bad? Let me tell you about mine. Huh? Your job? Listen, let me tell you what happened on my job. And, you know, it's like a bunch of old soldiers sitting around telling war stories. We acknowledge all that nonsense, and we don't acknowledge what we got from God. We don't acknowledge who's living on the inside of us, whose we are, and who we belong to. Stretch. We've got to recover the vision. What is God saying to you? What has God said He wanted to do in your life? Come on, now God has spoken to many of you, and He's spoken things that you don't even want to talk to anybody about because you think that they will make fun of you, and you think they'll look at you and think, why do you think God will ever use you that way? My question is, why wouldn't He? Why wouldn't He? I told you before, and I got in trouble with this one time here at this church. I remember it well. I said, God used a donkey, so women, He'll use you too. And the more I tried to get out of it, the more I got into it. But listen, he did use a donkey. Amen? So he used you too. Are you following me? And we need to realize that God's not a respecter of persons. He's not, and I heard Pastor say this morning, he's not looking for, what was it? Ability, but availability.
Right.
Amen? If you'll just make yourself available, he'll use you. It's happened over and over and over again, and you haven't grasped it yet. God will move on you in a service to give a tongue or interpretation. God will move on you in a service to do something, go lay hands on somebody. And you will say, God, if that's really you,
come on.
Have somebody else do it.
Yeah.
And he does.
Yeah.
Huh? And he's trying to say to you, I want to use you. I want to flow through you. Stretch. Well, amen. So recover the vision, amen.
Amen.
I said recover the vision, amen.
Amen.
I like Jeremiah. He says in Jeremiah 1:11, he says, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? What do you see? What is it that you see when you think about what God wants to do in your life? What is it do you see? Do you just look at the obstacles? Do you look at the giants and you see your inabilities? Or do you see that with God, all things are possible? You can accomplish whatever it is that God wants you to accomplish. Let me tell you something. We're so concerned with the giants, but the promised land is always just on the other side of giant land. You've got to get done with the giants to get into the promises. And the biggest giant you have is you. Amen? We say we think it's the devil. It's not the devil. He's defeated. It's what you think about the devil. It's what you think about yourself. Well, amen. Is God greater than the devil?
Yes.
Then what's the devil? Hello, somebody. What's the devil? The devil with the devil. Put it nicely. And as I said this morning, we've got to return and recover, return and recover the vision. Whatever it was that came into your life that stole your dream, that stole your vision, recover that thing. Amen? See, again, the dream never dies and the vision never dies. Somebody say, I lost my vision. No, you didn't lose your vision. You lost yourself. Somewhere in the midst of that, you lost your confidence. You lost your faith that God would do what he said he would do. Do what God said, showed you he would do. You think you began to judge your failures being more important and being more powerful than the word of God. Well, amen. Now say, I don't know. I've just been doing this stuff for, 38 years or so. Of course, in my 38 years, I've never failed. I never missed a mark.
No.
I never come up short.
No.
Now that not by accident nor by purpose. I was perfected the day I came in. Hey man, come on now. Holier than thou. Huh? Y'all buy that? Well, come on, tell me you will. Now I got something else I want to sell you. No, see, but we think sometimes that when we look at people's lives, boy, they got it all together. No, they're falling apart just like you are, but they made a decision to pick up the pieces and go on. I just did a message here a week ago. It was called Broken But Not Beyond Repair. And see, sometimes we get an idea that we're like Humpty Dumpty. We fell off the wall, and all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put us back together again. But we need to realize that we are not serving the king's horses nor the king's men. We're serving a God who created us. And if we failed, if we missed the mark, if we come up short, if we missed our moment, your opportunity, whatever you want to say, that doesn't mean that God's done with you. You are broken, but you're not beyond repair. So we need to pick up the pieces and move on. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
All right, you're going to have to amen me or we'll stay here for a while. And then, again, what we've been seeing all week long is recover the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Recover the power, glory to God. Amen? Again, we talk about being spirit-filled, but we act like somebody's pulled the plug. Huh? I got this car that I was driving the other day, and as I was driving, I got to hearing some rattling going on. I thought, maybe I'll check this oil. It don't sound good. And you know, when I checked it, it was 2 quarts low. And you know, when I put some oil in it, it went back to sounding right, driving right and everything. And see, sometimes you just got to get on the spot where the glory comes out. Recover it, glory to God. Stop living in the past experience, amen, and start turning on that power, that machinery. Spend some time praying in the Holy Ghost. Spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. How can we be Spirit-filled and not pray in the Spirit?
Come on.
I mean, that's like saying I'm English, but I don't speak English. Huh? You're Spirit-filled. You need to spend time praying in the Holy Ghost. I have found out that things just work out for me when I pray in the Holy Ghost. Amen. God shows me things. I don't even have to ask Him. He just begins to show me things while I spend time praying in the Spirit. And there's power that begins to come into your life, and that you find yourself moving in that realm of power, and you don't have to say, well, what if this happens or that happens? You just begin to move in it.
Amen.
Well, amen. And I'm like Paul. Paul was from Kentucky. He said, I thank God I prayed more than y'all. I pray in tongues more than y'all. Amen. And well, amen. So spend time praying it. Recover the power of the Holy Ghost in your life. Recover that. I remember the day I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. I remember I ran into somebody like that Ricardo was talking about the way he was. He was a good Baptist boy. And I was walking this way in the factory I was in, and he was coming this way, and we always talked about being in church the night before, and I forgot he was Baptist. Yeah, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, and he talked about, we met, he said, boy, did you go to church last night? I said, yeah, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongues, hallelujah. And then it dawned on me when he went by me. Oh, that was a Baptist. He don't believe that. Huh? But I had to tell somebody. I just couldn't contain it. God's so good, I have to tell somebody. I have to release what's inside of me. Amen. It's like Jeremiah said, I had my mind made up not to say a word, but the word of God was like fire shut up in my bones. When's the last time you had the fire in you that was burning so bright you just had to release it to somebody? Huh? It's for you. Amen. And you came into this thing that way. Amen. Who put your fire out? Hallelujah, glory. Amen. I think that if we recover the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives, here's what we're going to do. We're going to be like the prophet of old when the servant came and found him. Ahab was looking for the prophet, and the prophet said, you go tell Ahab, I'm about to show myself. I like that. I'm about to show myself. I'm telling you, as Christians, if we don't start showing ourselves, there's a move to snuff out everything that's Christ-like in this earth. And we are the light. And we've got to rise up and be who God says we are. Amen? Show yourself. Well, amen. That don't mean swing from the chandeliers or anything. Although, if you want to swing, it doesn't bother me. Amen. And then reclaim some miracles. Recover those miracles in your life. Is He the God of miracles?
Amen.
No, really, is He the God of miracles?
Yes.
And wouldn't it be a miracle if He could get you moving? Recover the miracles. Amen. See, it's all right to have fun. Recover the miracles. Amen. I like what Gideon said. If God be for us, where be the miracles? It's like it went hand in hand. If God's for me, miracles ought to be happening. Come on now. And you know what? Why we don't see more miracles? We don't look for them, and we don't do them. Stretch, stretch. Amen. Well, if I can just get them there, then somebody can pray for them. Why don't you pray for them? Get them there so they can testify what God's done. Well, amen. Amen. Remember what Mary and Martha, when Jesus came to the tomb, they began to accuse Jesus. Said, if you'd been here, He wouldn't have died. And you have to read the Bible for all it's worth. What they were saying basically is, you didn't love Him. You didn't really care for Him. He supported your ministry, but in the hour of his need, you was nowhere to be found. We sent word to you, and you didn't come. You had other things. You put everything else before him. If you really loved him, you'd have been here. If you only been here, he'd be alive. And Jesus said, if you can believe, you will see the glory of the Lord. And I want to say, if you'll dare to believe, you'll see the glory of the Lord. If you just dare to believe, if you'll just act like the Word of God is true, you'll see the glory of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And so we want to recover all the miracles in that God wants to accomplish in our life. I like stories about miracles, but I'm tired of hearing stories about miracles. I want to live a story.
Amen.
Come on, I want to live stories. I appreciate what God is doing everywhere else, but I want to see what God is doing right here. No, take that back. I want to be involved in what God is doing right here. Amen? And so we want to recover the miracles and see them take place in our life. That's why the Bible says, Paul said, but be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent means be red hot. Be red hot in spirit. Come on now. Be red hot in spirit. Now, whose job is it to make you red hot? It's yours. You stoke that fire. You stir up the fire that's within you. Well, amen. I said amen.
Amen.
See, we need to learn to be zealous for the things of God. Amen. And again, we want to be history makers. I'm out. My call. If I can identify my call, it's this. I want to make Jesus famous.
Yeah. Right.
Amen. I want to make him famous today. Not famous from what he did 2,000 years ago. I want to make him famous today. Amen. I want people to see the real, live, living power of a risen Savior.
Yeah.
Amen. I want people to know that everything is under his feet because he is King, glory to God. And nothing can withstand him. Come on now. Are you seeing that? And so we've got to have a zeal. We've got to have a passion. We've got to have a fire in us. Somebody asked a missionary from South America who was he was in Kentucky holding a meeting. Somebody asked him, he says, how come we don't see the miracles and revivals and things going on in America like we see down there? And he says, because you're plowing over burnt over ground. And what he was saying was, everybody in America has been there, done that.
Yeah.
Every gimmick's been tried. Come on now. We've chased every circuit. We've chased every person. We've followed after everything. We tried everything. And he's simply saying this. We've got to return to the biblical ways of doing things. And that is simply by faith. Just by faith. God loves you enough that he would use you in spite of yourself. Do you get that? In spite of yourself. Amen? Don't worry about it. She's not bothering me. Hallelujah. And so we need to just realize that and tap into the things of God and let God do what he wants to do in your life and through your life. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, put your hand on yourself and say, my body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. The lights are on. Somebody's home. And everything I have need of is in there. Furthermore, everything you have need of is in here. Amen. See, the Bible says that when he went up to the temple to pray, he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give. And see, you need to realize what you have. You have something to give. You may not ever stand behind a pulpit. You may not never be part of a worship team. You may never teach a Sunday school class. But you have something to give. The power of God dwells on the inside of you. Come on now. You're a miracle waiting to take place in somebody's life. Come on now. You have the ability to set people free. You have the ability to cause people's eyes to be opened. I'm talking spiritual and physical. You have that ability because God, the God of all glory, dwells on the inside of you. It's not up to somebody else. It's up to you. Stretch. Well, amen. Amen. Look at somebody again and tell them, there's more to you than meets the eye. There really is. There's more to you than meets the eye. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I bless you. I bless you, Father. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, that we're recovering. Lord, that we're going to take our rightful position in our rightful place. We're going to see you do the things that you want to do, you desire to do in our life and through our life and to our life, Father. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. Your eyes are on us. You desire to show yourself strong on our behalf. Remind it, Father, you said the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the earth looking for somebody he can show himself strong through. Here am I, Lord. Here we are, Father. Your children, your sons and daughters. Use us, Lord. Flow through us. Revolutionize our thinking, Father. Challenge us, Lord God, that we might rise up to the occasions, Lord. Divine connections, let them come in our life. Divine opportunities, Lord. Let us not overlook what you're doing and people that you put in our life, Father, that we can begin to release you in the midst of them. In the name of Jesus, I thank you for it, Father. Hallelujah. In a minute, Pastor Connie and I are going to minister to a few of you. Let me say this. See, sometimes we regulate everything to church. And churches, what we get wrong is the church is not a building. You're the church.
That's right.
And so you need to take church out to everybody.